Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we're coming now to, I think, one of the most important verses in all the Bible. That's making quite a statement, isn't it? But I think it is. The verse is 2 Peter 1:19, which says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Now, this is an electrifying statement by the Apostle Peter. You recall that for the last three verses, he's been certifying the accuracy of his message about Jesus of Nazareth. How he knows he is the Christ. How he knows he is the eternal Son of God. How he knows that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How he knows that he is coming again to rule and to reign. And the way he knows these things is because of what was revealed to him during the 3 years that he walked and worked in close proximity to Jesus Christ, and the climax of the revelation, which he personally witnessed, took place on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he and James and John saw the Shekinah glory, the glory of deity shining forth from none other than Jesus of Nazareth, the one that they had been following all of this time. But, says Peter, there is even a more certain confirmation than that. Namely, Scripture. And that is an astounding statement when you think about it. And that's what we're going to talk about today on this Thursday, December 11, as we gather together around the Word of God, enabled to do so because of radio listeners who help us financially. All right, I want to read the whole passage because it comes together. Verse 19, the text that we're looking at now, is a continuation. It is really a conclusion of what Peter has said. It begins in verse 16 when he says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so, here's conclusion, based upon what Peter has just said that he personally witnessed along with others. "And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Now, again, that is quite a statement, but what exactly is Peter claiming? He is claiming a more sure word. "We have the prophetic word confirmed," is what my translation says. The Old King James says, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy," which literally this phrase in the original language means something like this: "We have more sure the prophetic word. We, probably the apostles, we, certainly Peter, and maybe his readers, I think they are included. He's saying, you believers that I'm writing to have this as well, along with myself and the other apostles. We have more sure the prophetic word. More sure than what? Well, we'll get into that. There are really two ways to translate this. Peter could be saying, we have a more sure word. That is to say, the scriptures are even more sure than an eyewitness account. Or, it can be accurately translated, we have the word made more sure, which would be saying the scriptures are confirmed by the transfiguration, which of which I was an eyewitness. Now, that is two legitimate possibilities, but either way, the emphasis is upon the veracity, the accuracy, the reliability, the, may I dare use this word, the infallibility of the Bible, the Word of God. Now, what again is a confirming item in all of this? It is a transfiguration that Peter has just described. The transfiguration confirms the prophecies. The transfiguration is the event that confirms Scripture. Or, the Scriptures are even more sure than the event that took place on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is probably the best way to translate it. But again, either way, it elevates Scripture to the highest possible position. Scriptures are more sure. Visions are secondary. That seems to be what Peter is saying. Now, some even take it a third way, that there is really no comparison intended. And Peter is saying something like, we have the prophetic word very firm. We have the eyewitness account. We also have the prophetic word. But what Peter is telling us is that we have something that is at the very least, no matter which way you take this, at the very least, he's saying, the scriptures are every bit as reliable as what my eyes have seen. And he may very well be saying, again, depending on exactly how this ought to be translated, that the scriptures we have are even more certain than what my eyes have seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. You see, the problem with visions and dreams and those kinds of revelations that come from God, which in fact there are such things, that doesn't mean that everyone who says that he received a vision from God actually received one. That doesn't mean that all the claims of visions and dreams and communications directly from God are reliable. We know some of them were. We know, because the Scripture confirms it, that there were men and women that God gave this kind of communication to. Do we know that when somebody claims such a communication today, do we know that that is a legitimate communication from God? Well, actually, we don't. Why not? Well, because, number one, it's unverifiable, and for the most part, unrepeatable. But Peter says, the vision I saw, whatever he saw on the Holy Mount, we'll call it a vision for the moment, the revelation, the communication that I saw on the Holy Mount of the glorified Christ with the Shekinah glory of his deity shining forth, what I saw is verifiable because of what now? Because it is confirmed by Scripture. That's what verifies it. You see, when you have a vision, well, I wouldn't say you, but maybe when somebody has a vision that they claim comes from God, the problem is there's no way to verify it. That's what that person claims. That's what that person says. And I'm certain, in many cases, individuals believe what they are saying. I'm sure in other cases, people do not believe what they are saying. I'm sure that there are a lot of charlatans out there who make up things and claim they heard things, saw things, experienced things, which they never have, but they know that there are a lot of gullible people that they can deceive with this, and many times they are doing so for a financial gain. But I'm certain that there are other people who are as sincere as they can be, and they believe that what they experienced is from God. But I say it again, the problem is there's really no way to verify it. It just becomes a subjective experience. This is what you experienced. This is what you felt. This is what you believe you heard or you saw. But there's no way to confirm that it was actually from God. How do you know that you didn't conjure it up from your own mind, your own soul? We all have dreams. Where do those come from? How can you support, how can you demonstrate that this dream that you attach religious significance to came from God when you and I and everybody else have dreams regularly that don't come from God? They just come from our own minds. There have been a lot of studies done on sleep and dreams and so forth, and we know that. They come out of usually several thoughts that relate to experiences that we have had, but when they come out to us, come out in dreams, they very seldom mirror exactly the reality of what we experienced. It's kind of interesting how that when we can remember our dreams, and I'm speaking from my own experience now, when I can remember my dreams, I realize that there is a relationship in this dream to something that happened to me, but it has added all kinds of things that have nothing to do with reality. Where did that come from? Well, it came from me. It came from my thoughts. It came from my mind. It came from my memory. And no telling where else these other things came from, these creative things that got added to it. It didn't come from God, necessarily. I certainly couldn't say that it did. I couldn't prove that it did. I just have these things like you do, and they come from me. And furthermore, if they came from outside of me, how do we know that they came from God and not from Satan, not from a demon who comes to us, as the Bible tells us, as an angel of light, disguising himself, trying to give people impressions that they will think come from God when in fact they don't? How do you know that isn't something like that? How can you verify your subjective experience to know for certain that it is from God, that it is a divine revelation instead of a satanic revelation or simply a subjective thought arising out of your own mind? How can you know? There's no way to know. But Peter says, I'm confirming my experience from the Bible. We heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, and so we have the prophetic word, more sure, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. This is very interesting, and now you can see why I say this is one of the most important texts in all the Bible. And Lord willing, we'll return to it again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.